Yeah, yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Of course. Of course. Stuff's still up. What the hell? Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you. My camera was a little crooked, so you just helped me.
Yeah, but what about your nose?
Oh.
Well, you know, if you were a Jewish doctor.
What, I'd give you bigger breasts? Do you want bigger titties, Robbie? Do you want titties for Christmas?
Well, just give me the ones you got.
I could, but I don't know why you'd, you know, want my titties.
Well, you seem to got some E-cups over there. I don't know.
It's a titty transplant.
I got a girlfriend who's a little flat, so you know, just, you know, share the love.
Yeah. Is it your girlfriend? Is it righty or lefty?
Well, I have a great relationship with Pamela.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yep. Of course you do. Of course you do. Tell us all about Pamela.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. Yeah, that was a fucking fail.
Yeah.
My head is too shiny.
All right. You know what? There was wrestling that happened apparently this week.
Was there? I thought a lot of people just lost their jobs again.
Jeez.
Backlash right. Happened.
Backlash.
Thoughts on Backlash, guys?
Danhausen.
Yeah. That whole Danhausen thing. That was fun to watch.
Anyone wanted
it? It was fun.
Experience.
So
what was fun about it?
So
the clones that he had from the last time.
Absolutely. The mini Housen, and then obviously, you know, the cloning booth. You know, there, that was just a lot of fun from beginning to end. It shows that you don't have to have like crazy great, you know, technicalities in the match. You don't have to try to, you know, sell 80 billion different products necessarily, which, you know, mind you, that's what all the apron is for, but in the canvas. But yeah, this was just fun. It felt like they know how to use Danhausen the right way. I think that with AEW, and I'll be the one to say it, they didn't tap into even 10% of what Danhausen brings to the show. So good on them for leaning into it and realizing that, hey, this guy is going to be different than the rest of the entire presentation, which is fine because wrestling should be a variety show. So
agreed. And also let's give it up to Minnehausen. That guy's lucha abilities were off the chart. He carried the bulk of the match. The lion's share of the match.
Yep, El Torito himself.
That's it. So, Minnehausen worked for the WWE from 2013 to 16, alongside Los Matadores. He was in the rivalry with Hornswoggle. He was El Torito, and and he's now 44 years old. So, you know, for 44, you know, he has great ability still, unlike Rob.
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, shit, I've got many great abilities. I put up with your shit every week, so that's an amazing ability.
I don't know if that's an ability.
It's just a tolerance.
That's just, yeah, exactly.
No, you know what, trust me, I know all about that shit.
Yeah.
Nah. His in-ring work was great. It was, he did the lion's share of the wrestling, and that was an enjoyable match. And then the idea that he cloned himself again, it was good. And also I you know, kudos to the Miz for allowing this, because it takes a lot of humility to be able to, you know, put somebody over like this, and he is really good at putting people over.
Yeah. And that's his job, and that's what he does, and that's why he gets paid, and that's why he still has a job, and yeah. He's not complaining about what he gets paid for what he does, and he still has a contract. Go fucking figure. I don't know. Maybe it's called business, and Miz knows.
Hey, wait. We're not going down with the trickle-down economics on WWE. He's already got that mansion signed and sealed. So for the rest of the people who are like, hey, you're going to be the champion, but you're going to make half, they're going to be like, the fuck? Wait a minute.
Who?
Well, as it goes right now, we've just lost Asuka. We lost the New Day. You know what? And I'll tell you now.
So what? I will continue to say, big fucking deal. What were they doing in WWE that was so fucking important that you needed those people that you couldn't allow them to go and do other things?
Question. What were they not allowed to do in WWE because they were shimmying them out? You're talking about great talent in ring, on mic.
When is the last time the New Day did anything that was great?
That's my point.
I remember it was called when Big E got dropped on his fucking neck and it broke. That was the last great thing those guys did together. Because since then, those guys have been completely fucking irrelevant.
Their heel run was actually not too bad. When they did their heel run, it was actually interesting for a while. They had a good run.
The heel run? The New Day heel run after Big E was hurt, in which I believe we could go back and find footage of you saying, oh, this is, what the fuck was that?
Yes, if I see something at the first and it doesn't look good, it's the same thing as like when Danhausen came out to that lousy intro. And then all of a sudden, wow, it grows. Something can change. I can change. Something can develop.
Exactly. Change, Rob.
Yes, but what you've done is you've taken the guys that matter, kick them out, and replace them with maybes. Some of them work. Most of them are not.
What are you fucking talking about? Think about this. Steve.
I posted a video to you. I hope you got the chance to watch it, of Mark Henry and Coach going and saying the exact same thing. Wow, you're dumping your veteran guys who can actually perform and on mic and.
Bro, that is the same shit that's been happening in corporate America for decades.
Right, and what do we often find? It doesn't work.
Don't even fucking go corporate America. Steve, if the Steelers still were putting out Joe Green right now, bless his soul.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You have people
Rob. It's fucking shelf life. And you know what used to not happen? You didn't have to fucking let these guys go because of the fact that they didn't bring people up. They didn't develop people, but now they're trying to use their fucking performance center that has probably 50,000 people in it and develop a system in which you create new people. But now all you assholes online are going, oh my God, the people that we were fucking really invested in, like Kofi fucking Kingston. Oh God, how are they going to survive without him? Oh my God, Asuka? Oh God, remember fucking 15 years ago when she was good in NXT and that was her prime and it was fucking good? Great. But now,
I remember 15 minutes ago while you guys were pushing a story for her and then you just dropped it out of midair. So this is what my point is.
Yeah, it's done.
And we're not even talking, I'm not talking about over the course of months. I'm talking over the course of minutes, WWE is dropping off people because they don't want to pay them. Not because other people are not getting the chance to go up. It's because you just don't want to pay the people who are good.
Why would you pay them if you're not using them.
Asuka is in the middle of a storyline.
It was not, but it was not a fucking featured big story, something that was building up to Asuka becoming the champion. Asuka was there to build up Io's guy, if anything. That's it.
That's what I was going to say.
All right. Yeah, and Io Sky had already been built up.
When that match started, collecting a paycheck, and they were doing shit with him.
You can get as angry as you want to get. It doesn't change the fact. When that match started, were they cheering for either one of them? They said, no, Kairi fucking Sane is what that audience wanted. 15,000 people told you you're fucking wrong. 15,000 people said Kairi Sane. And guess what? The other 30 million of us,
what was Kairi Sane doing?
Kairi Sane's job was to put over that storyline and complete it. The purpose of wrestling, besides the in-ring capabilities, is the fact that you are writing comprehensive storylines. Sometimes not, sometimes you are. And when you do have something, it is beholden upon them to finish it, especially if you have people
Then what the fuck are you watching it for?
If you're going to have a program that pulls the rug out from you, why would I watch that day in and day out? You're getting to a point where I don't want to watch it because I know that you don't, you're not invested in your product. It was the same thing as with The Rock. Oh, well, wait a minute. I did Ari Emanuel a favor and I started something, but I didn't want to be bothered doing it. When The Rock rolls out with a $3 million watch and you can't afford to pay your talent, fuck you, WWE. Fuck you, TKO. Don't fucking jerk me off nonstop. Fuck you for fucking shilling for them. Get the fuck out of here. At a certain point, you have to go, wait a minute. Are you interested in your writing? Are you interested in the product you're putting out every week? It's one thing if somebody gets injured. I'll give you a pass on Breaker getting injured, and you've got to do audibles. Breaker is one of those guys.
Logan Paul's one of those guys. Vega, out of all the fucking people, Zelina fucking Vega, Aleister Black, two of the fucking bumps on the log, you know?
And I said those people. Remember why that happened. That happened because they got rid of somebody who was good in Karrion Black and Karrion Black and Scarlett. So when they had good people, they dropped them.
Steve, let him go with what he's saying so that I can play it for Kevin and we'll let him go. He doesn't even know who the fucking guy is.
What do you mean? I don't know who the fucking guy is. I just said Karrion Kross was good.
No, you called him Karrion Black like three times.
So Karrion Kross.
No, we'll go back. You said Karrion.
Rob, you are hyped up about this shit tonight, man.
I was hyped up about it last week. I was hyped up about it the week before. I was hyped up about it the week before. When we're talking about something that is entertainment, they got their ass kicked in the Star Trek universe where they made a shitty expansion and it went under in one season. This is what happens. Why are you asking me to be excited? Go on, talk about programming that's turning into a shit show. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Sol Ruka. She can't even do her own fucking finisher. She got the rub, she got the push, and she botches her first shot out. Fuck off! Come on, get out of here,
Steve.
And I'm supposed to get behind you, Rob. You are all over the fucking place. We're talking about Backlash. Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Holy shit.
I'm trying to unmute you. Alrighty.
Thank God for Super Greens, but Xena, that's the new product that I sell. It has energy, antioxidants, and fiber.
You don't say energy. Holy shit.
Oh,
please bring me over to Florida. I'll fucking kick Paul fucking Triple H back into a heart attack. He deserves one. He needs to have a stroke back in the other direction so he can remember how to fucking write a storyline and carry it through.
All right, cool.
We'll get to that later.
So obviously, you know, we do have to make mention of the Io and Asuka match. I know that Rob mentioned it in his rant, okay? But here's the thing is, I have to say this, and this has to be put out there. I was one of the most vocal critics of them not getting on either night of WrestleMania.
Sure.
Looking back, I prefer the way they did it, because if you look at the match itself, they were given time. They were given like 18 minutes, I believe it was, 16 or 18 minutes, and which is fantastic. You have to ask yourself, would they have gotten that 16 to 18 minutes if they had a match at WrestleMania? And the answer is no. They would not have gotten that much time at Mania. They would have probably gotten 5 to 6 minutes, and that would be it. They told a great story. You saw the post-match just obviously it set the tone for, you know, the next Raw with Asuka walking away and that kind of thing. If this is the end of Asuka in WWE, she has had a phenomenal career in WWE. If you look at all of the accolades that Charlotte Flair has gotten, would you believe that Asuka is number two all time in title reigns in WWE behind Charlotte Flair?
Right.
Which that is something that's been overshadowed. They have done an excellent job of using Asuka, and you know, if people want to might maybe chalk it up to the whole renegotiation thing, or you know, maybe her contract is just ending, whatever the situation is. The fact of it is, they were able to make her synonymous with that women's division. She is one of those names that when you think of the WWE women's division, you automatically think of Asuka as being one of the top three or four, especially in the modern era. And for her to pass the torch the way that she did to Io in that match, obviously we all knew that was going to happen. But all that you need to do is look at that post-match for how emotional it was. And this was a perfect cap to a perfect career in WWE for Asuka.
Right. And so think about this. You're bitching about Kairi Sane, but Kairi Sane probably got released already knowing that Asuka was finishing. This is probably something that was in the works. The reason they didn't get the WrestleMania match is because they were probably looking at this as to give her something in return to do a goodbye. That's it. This is the end of the story. You wanted the storyline. This is the story. It was Asuka. Who the fuck cares about Kairi Sane? Who cares?
I do. I'm saying a lot to of you people do. That
a lot of
you...
people do.
Yeah, but yes. WWE, but in WWE,
the business, no. They don't.
That's what I I'm get saying. That.
But that doesn't matter to me. I on this side of the aisle,
as a
on
fan, this side, as a
I
fan.
Could care less. As on yep. this side of the aisle, their corporate bottom dollar, I could give two flying fucks about. You have a job. Your job is to entertain me. You're failing. You're creating gaps where there didn't need to be. You could have easily thrown her in there to hug those two at the end, because that's your Kabuki Warrior tag mate that you have been propping up for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. That these two people, wait, cares. That these, I do. I'm watching
good.
This product.
Good.
I'm telling that's you great. And we're the people up, and in that audience that built up that it. Building.
Do you want to get out of here? What do you need to get out
I'm
of here?
I'm just saying, you're saying that it didn't matter. It did. Because you said you topped it off. You had the whipped cream. You did not have the cherry. You did an incomplete job. Period.
The cherry fucked up and it rotted out, and we couldn't use it anymore. So it doesn't go on the sundae.
The cherry was on the Rock's wrist.
Well.
Next.
And you know the backlash. Steve, talk about Jacob Fatu, because now. It looks like they're running with Jacob.
Hell yeah, man. And this is unbelievable that if you look at where they had Jacob Fatu 6 months ago, obviously he had just come back from an injury. But the fact of the matter is, dude, since he has come back, he has been on fire. They are absolutely pushing him because he has a connection with the fans, which is something that you, no matter you know, what your thought of what pro wrestling is, there has to be that connection with the fans. So yes, Roman beats him at Backlash. Absolutely. That happens. I personally thought that it was going to, the title reign was going to end at Backlash just because the way that they were building it. But I do have to mention this. Jacob Fatu kicked out of not one, but two spears. And if you look at it, essentially no sold that second one because he was up on his feet and beat the shit out of Roman at Backlash. And then that set the stage for Raw and, you know, the acknowledgement ceremony and what happens. But you have Jacob Fatu laying out Roman and the Usos, laying waste to everyone. And I'm saying it right here, right now. Jacob Fatu is leaving Italy with that championship.
There we go. There's Steve's hot take for the week. There's your own.
I don't disagree with that. I like the idea that they didn't drop it right away. You don't want Roman to look too weak. And it gives you more meat on the bone if you drag this out storytelling wise. It's also gives something for the people in Europe to have a title change.
Right. And Absolutely. Also and Jacob gets it to do it in his hometown. So
wait, what? Oh, fuck. Yo, Jacob Fatu from Milan, Italy. You know what I mean?
See, no wrestler has actually gone there yet. You know, everyone does the cheap pop, but I mean, TNA is the closest with, you know, the masked, you know, hometown hero. But yeah. Why not have a wrestler who comes out and every place they go is where he's from and he grew up? And
yeah. So,
oh, no,
so
Roman I'm Roman Reigns from Rome.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Roman Reigns from Rome.
SmackDown, and of course, Backlash, we had the match with Trick and Sammy, but you know, SmackDown.
Can we just say that feud's over? Like the Sami Zayn Trick Williams thing, that's finished at this point. Sammy,
gingerbread man.
Oh Jesus.
Well, that's
don't even get me started on that shit. Like, oh my God.
Hey, it's what corporate wants.
I do have to draw the line somewhere for me. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to yuck people's yum. If you thought the funeral for the gingerbread man was awesome, by all means, embrace that. Run with that. Not my shit. I didn't do it for me. No.
Did you like when they had the hand birth or they pulled JR's head out of the ass? That stuff from back then? Because that's the one thing that, you know, fans who were so upset about this being, this is just stupid, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know,
it's,
what?
It's right in line with the absurdity.
It's it's a G version of what they did back then, but they did some cringy stuff. You are correct. It's a, like the Katie Vick stuff that they did with Kane. Yeah. And I mean, there was some cringy ones that were like NC-17, but this was just a G version.
And Rob, you made a great point. I mean, could we have not had like Sammy sneak in and try to fuck the gingerbread man's dead corpse in the casket? That would have been a great throwback.
That would have been great. I would have paid money to see that.
That would have made me have a 180 on the segment for sure.
And then Sami Zayn could like pull out some cotton and go, I fucked your stuffings out. Remember the line? I fucked your brains out. I bring your brains out. Oh no.
See, I mean, that's it. That's it. But
you know, God! King, she gave birth to a hand. I believe that's a hand.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, again, people get upset for no fucking reason. That's what I'm saying. It's a business. Some of the stuff that you're going to see on TV is shit. Some of it is good. Some of the firings you're going to be upset about. Some you could care less about. It's a fucking business. And you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that these assholes own UFC and UFC is in the fucking hole, you wouldn't be seeing this much take advantage of. It's not that these guys are just taking advantage of the fact that they're able to make money off of this. They're trying to fucking set this thing up so that they can eventually sell it for two to three times its worth. That's it.
Exactly. And the thing is, obviously, using WWE to recoup the losses from UFC, that's why we're seeing the exorbitant ticket prices, the prices on everything across the board. They're trying to squeeze as much blood from a turnip as possible so that realistically they can, you know, sell off in a couple of years' time, but also so that they can get some of that debt and some of the financial red off of the books that UFC has in place.
Right.
I'll keep it to a dull roar. What I will say is once you do that, you can't, they never go back. They're never going to go. They're never going to go, hey, you know what? We're going to bring the prices down now back to the way they were in, let's say, 2020, because, you know, we made our, no, it's going to stay high.
Hold on. There's a chance that those ticket prices go down, right?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, no. The reason I'm saying this is because, listen, wrestling is one of those things where it's a tide, right? And you saw it in AEW. Why is AEW affordable right now? Because they're not as popular as they were 4 years ago. The ticket prices were reasonably higher when they were doing well, which it should be.
It is supply and demand. That plays into it for sure.
If you're so upset and you don't like the product and you can't afford it, then you don't go. The thing is that right now, the people who are going, they can still afford it. Right. When we get to the point where all this catches up with everyone's pocketbooks, guess what? They are going to have to do smaller venues. You know, they're going to have to restructure. The ticket prices will have to go down, or they're going to have to do, again, smaller venues.
Well, let me ask you a question. So, would you say that that Backlash was already a smaller venue? It was only a seating of about 15,000.
Well, it was an arena. You know, Backlash should be an arena show. The SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and the Royal Rumble. Those are the three. And then they're doing Survivor Series, you know, when you're doing Survivor Series outside or whatever, you know, that if that's in a stadium, that's going to be a bigger place. So those are your four that have been traditionally that big. So those are your stadium shows. Otherwise, it should be a fucking 15,000 seat arena.
I don't know. I mean, I'm saying there's a few venues that are in the 20s or 30s, some like mid mm-hmm. places but you know, it's fine.
You'll block off more seats if you're doing a 20,000 seater. If you're selling those tickets for so high, you will block off more seats. So what do? You move it down to a 15.
You move it down to a 12. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. And the other thing is, I think this will catch up with them. If they don't square away the writing and they don't make sure that they've secured good talent, I think this will and is going to catch up with them, not right away. I'm saying maybe 2 years down the line, you're going to be having a much different conversation, especially if another company buys it with the expectation that they could get away with bloody murder.
As you should, because that's the other point of all this, is that it shouldn't remain the same for generational time, that it should fucking have to struggle and they should have to fucking readjust and do things. And the fact of the matter is that this is all so different because this is the first time you're dealing with a front office. And that's it. That's very simple. This is now the NFL. This is now baseball. This is now, you know, this is not just one guy going, hey, pal, you know, why don't you go shit on me? You know, that's it. It's different. So, all right. Speaking of different, give us some dynamite thoughts. Segues. And
that was, also, that was a great segue. That was a great fucking segue, man.
All right.
Dynamite thoughts and really different, the fairway to hell.
Absolutely.
Which is hysterical, man. I love that. So give us some thoughts.
Yeah, man. So just really quick, obviously the thing that has to be said is Darby Allin is damn near killing himself every single week. And this week twice. The match with Kevin Knight continues to show why he is a bright shining star that AEW can actually hold and keep on their roster for decades. They could build a company around Kevin Knight. He is gifted in the ring. He's good on the mic and getting better. And he has aura. So that is a guy that not immediately, because there are some things in the movement for, you know, Ospreay with the championship and things like that. But I could see Kevin Knight holding the AEW World Championship within the next 3 years. Absolutely. There you go. I do have to say this, though. I've never understood why AEW does what they do for the international championship. Brian Keith has not won a match on TV in months. Why does he have a championship match against Okada? I don't get that. So it's I guess like an open challenge without it being an open challenge. Make it make sense.
Call him, just say I'm a fighting champion, nobody can beat me, or make it eliminator matches. And because Moxley's was an eliminator match.
Moxley's was an eliminator match against Juice, which was a solid match. These guys have great chemistry because of what they did in New Japan and around the, you know, around the wrestling landscape. But yeah, dude, the thing that doesn't make any sense is how title shots are given in most cases in AEW. I understand this, the want for, hey, anything can happen, but it doesn't make sense. And there's no willing suspension of disbelief. So you can't get behind anybody like a Brian Keith, unless he's been getting big wins, which does segue over to Fairway to Hell, where there is a new national champion because Mark Davis did pick up the win over Jack Perry. And I'll say it, they have been building and building and building Mark Davis. That is what you do. You make the guy look like a monster, and then you give him a title shot, and then you put him over, and it makes it believable. That's what they did extremely well here. Mark Davis, with the injury to Jake Doyle, he could have floundered. He could have done, you know, nothing. And instead, they chose to make him into a killer, and now he's got some gold to show it.
But there's one thing I want to add to that. It also adds legitimacy to a one-hour drop-in show.
Yes,
because it's not a throwaway. You're not expected to see everyone just retain. Very good choice.
That venue was freaking awesome, too. That venue was an indoor golf center where it's in Florida, and they have the indoor golf association, whatever the TVL, or I don't golf. I don't know, but it's,
what kind
it's
of Republican white guy are you?
I know, right? I'm a fucking asshole, but yeah, it was a great venue. Again, Darby Allin continues to kill himself every single match. It, taking a bump off of the loge level through, they had four tables set up. He only went through two of them because his tailbone hit the freaking ground. But this looked fantastic. It was a lot of fun. I've been doing a lot of talking. Rob, please say something.
I like the venue. I like that it was a little bit more stretched out, which made for some really great spots on that bastard pack and Darby Allin match.
Absolutely.
The high flying spots that he did, the drops that Darby Allin did, everything was just freaking great. And the physicality to be able to beat Pac. My only thing with him is you beat him too many times. He looks squishy, and he shouldn't look that squishy for what you're trying to get visually. He needs to start picking up some significant wins so he can reestablish, you know what I'm saying.
He needs to be back in title contention.
Yes. Yeah. That's all I'll say about that. You cannot have him jobby. He is not Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta is your go-to jobber. You know,
he's the bump guy. He's the bump guy for the Death Riders.
And that's fine. Yeah, that's he knows his place, and that's great. But you can't do it to Pac too many times. Don't set him up to fail. He's in Rusev country right now. I'm a little scared.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
Well, when he's released from the company, Rob, I hope you go on a rant trying to protect him and the storylines, because Pac is such a valuable.
I decided to watch the program and enjoy what I was watching. I'm such a Mark asshole.
Well, yeah.
You heard it here first.
I mean, I've seen your driver's license. I can't believe that your real name is Mark Asshole. It's fucking amazing.
No, it's Smart Mark Sterling.
Yeah.
I didn't figure that out like 2 years later. I was like, oh yeah, he's a smart Mark. Oh.
All right. Speaking of smart marks, AEW sues Triller over $5 million in overdue payments. I know DeFalco was probably pissed that he still hasn't gotten $500 from these guys. So $5 million. Triller, anyone still got a subscription to that crap?
I never did in the first place. I was watching it through you guys.
I mean, honestly, I do still have a Triller Plus, but that's only because of all of the programming that you get. But dude, knowing what we know, when I saw this lawsuit drop, it did not surprise me even in the fucking slightest.
Yeah.
Even in the slightest. Yep. I'll tell you this, if things proceed, it could be possibly looking at closure for Triller, and now yep. and then everything's going to go to title match. So
as it should. Triller, just, it's bad business. And it's companies, it's AEW aside, you know, that's big business. It's all the fucking independents that didn't see their fucking pay. So good for them.
I believe Brett Lauderdale said that they still owed them about $50,000 for GCW.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So it's not just them by any means.
Right. Jazzwares is, they just laid off the AEW team. So it looks like that Jazzwares is probably not doing AEW's toys anymore, which goes along with the t-shirts and stuff. So, you know,
maybe total in-house production.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Go to Jack Specific.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah,
ridiculous proportions of all of those people.
Yeah. Well, the Jazzwares weren't great. They were kind of between Jackson and Hasbro.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird combination. I mean, that's the thing. Will merchandising go through in-house where it should have been probably moved about 4 or 5 years ago, after, you know, AEW started and they could sustain. All right. So then we had Young Bucks reveal that they were speaking to Triple H in 2018 to try to make a New Day versus Elite happen. And then Big E got dropped on his neck. And from that point on, they were never good enough. So they couldn't wrestle the Elite, obviously.
Wow.
But now they can.
You were never going to come back.
Now, obviously, the opportunity is there. I mean, again, here's the thing. If they go to AEW, you are spending a lot of money if you're Tony Khan for a tag team that maybe does something or maybe doesn't do much.
Hey, look, it's them or your supply of eight balls.
Bro, it's dream. It's for dream matches, man. It's realizing all of these things that, okay, Elite, Cage and Cope, FTR, you've got a solid nucleus for your tag team division. And then if you add to that the New Day, or whatever they're going to be called, if you add to that the Motor City Machine Guns, possibly, you have what AEW was founded on, which was having the best tag team division in pro wrestling. and they are back to that.
So the question, but the question becomes this, and I think this is the valid, you know, this is the valid thing of all this, and that is dream matches with guys who are not in that, you know, that light anymore. You know, the possibility, listen, we saw even before you had Edge and Christian tagging again, you know, Copeland goes out there, does something stupid, breaks his leg, and he's out for an extended period of time. You know, there's no guarantee that someone like Xavier Woods comes in and doesn't break his fucking hand.
Exactly. You know,
in the first match.
Maybe his ankle. Now, well, he's got a bad ankle.
I'll mention this is Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, he is not just a contributor, obviously, for his in-ring stuff. With all of the things that he did with Up, Up, Down, Down, with all of the presence around gaming for WWE, now you bring him to AEW, you put him right back into the scene with the exact same people who were doing that shit in WWE. So obviously Xavier Woods was the figurehead for Up, Up, Down, Down, but you also had Adam Cole, you had Cesaro, you had, you know, all these guys that, you know, were part of their clique. And now you have the possibility of reuniting them. It's a boon and a win on both fronts for Tony Khan. Not to mention a lot of AEW talent have been grandstanding and been putting it out there for Tony to sign them. So it's not if, it's when at this point. Yeah.
Makes sense. You know,
I got to understand that perfect.
What was that?
Perfect.
Was that one? There you go. Okay. Well, that's the that's the least you've ever said on this show. So cool. All right. One word answers. I love it. Sweet. All right. So Cena's announcement, they're going to have a new championship. It's main roster versus NXT stars. The fans are in charge of voting for the champion, and it's basically if you lose a match, you can still become champion through the fan voting. I don't know. I mean, is this you know what fucking internet fans have wanted all along, and that is total control of something.
I like this conceptually, but I think they'll fuck it up somehow. I like the idea that the fans have their finger on the trigger, and WWE now gets to gauge more accurately what people really want in real time, which is smart. It's tethered to Cena, so it's not like you're putting one of the main titles out there. This is a internet championship. It's smart marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, and I think the first champion of this belt should be Travis Scott.
Oh, geez. Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not.
I show speed.
So the
thing, Marcus Deeds.
Yep, exactly. Marcus Deeds says never, ever give control to fans, ever. So here's the thing is, I think that this is okay to do for an event like this. You never want to give up the reins fully to the fans, to the masses. But right. The fact is that I think that the biggest issue I have is just in the order of things. So, okay, wrestler A, wrestler B have a match, and then there's a vote after that, and the fans determine who advances in the tournament. Realistically speaking, they could very, very easily have the fan voting before the match based on the lead ups, the promos, all that kind of stuff, not publicize the winner of the vote, but actually have the winner of the match be determined by the fans. You can release, obviously, information, whatever the situation is, but I don't think that there's ever been a truer case for the phrase that wins and losses don't mean shit before this. Yeah. It, It wins and losses don't mean a damn thing in WWE. And this is further proof of it. I'm not a fan of that belief. Some people, it's not a big concern for. It really just is completely subjective. But yeah, it's.
You ever see Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
Where Drew Carey and Aisha Taylor would go, where everything is made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
And that's exactly what it is. So true. Yeah. All right. Here you go. You guys, AEW can have these guys.
Though realistically, they'll probably go to CMLL.
Yeah.
I could easily see them getting signed to CMLL very soon.
And I'm glad that Angel Garza thanked the fan who supported them. So.
Well, come on, all those 55-year-old women when he rips his pants off and you get the banana hammock out there.
Jeez.
Plantain
hammock.
Yeah, speaking of plantain hammocks and banana hammocks, TKO has a new multi-year deal with Arizona, WWE's parent company, alongside the Arizona Sports and Event Alliance, announced Tuesday that they will be 7 events to the states that will include WWE, UFC, some boxing, bull riding. And then we see the words Brian Alvarez. So we know this is, a very true report. Has some new details regarding what WWE is bringing to the table. New Phoenix agreement is for Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and Saturday night's main event. WWE currently only has their event schedule set through Money in the Bank. It takes place on September 6th in New Orleans. They've yet to have locations revealed for Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. Significant shows held in Arizona include WrestleMania XXVI at the State Farm Stadium. Yeah. Just easier to say XXVI, Steve. I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Are you from Rome? Because you sure know the numerals. Callback. That's called callback, ladies and
gentlemen. Well fucking played.
Very good. Very good. You read my memo on how to do comedy 101.
Right. And then I totally ignored it and was funny. Okay. So there you go.
Wow. Not bad.
Wow.
Not bad. Look at this guy shining his bald dome right now.
It's because I'm on this new product, okay? This is all natural. It comes from the greens of whatever fucking animal or fucking prostate it's from. It's great. It's amazing.
So what you're saying is you milk an animal's prostate on your head and ended up with that.
Absolutely. It's amazing, right, man. It's amazing. All right. So, I mean, you know, it looks like this is what's going to be happening now. With major cities paying TKO for big events.
Yeah. Which makes all the sense in the world, honestly. Because if you look at all of the, you know, all of the economic impact that WWE brings when they bring a major tentpole event to town, like Mania or, you know, any of your major pay-per-views, absolutely. I'm surprised that it took this long for it to happen, to be honest.
Yeah. I have a question. Considering it's TKO and UFC is a part of that, how long, if at all, will we see just a complete crossover of more UFC fighters into the wrestling mix?
I don't know why there's not more of it.
Yeah, it's hard to say. And mainly too, the honest answer is UFC is in a really, they're in a bad boat because you can gamble on UFC.
Oh yeah.
And if you start introducing UFC fighters into the WWE, now the perception becomes that the UFC is fixed as well. And there's already been questions about, you know, is some of that stuff scripted? So it could be a bad thing in that aspect of taking away the legitimate sports aspect and, you know, whether or not.
Well, I mean, fighting's been fairly scripted in the sense of some of these matches were Mike Tyson versus Neely back in the day, 20 years ago. Nobody thought that guy was going to have any chance against Mike Tyson. So there's always been matches that have been lopsided and set
right.
up.
Right. But the difference is even with boxing, when you set up a tomato can versus a legit guy, the sports odds, you know, they're going to give that tomato can of, you know, 5,000 to 1, you know, here, if you have a UFC guy show up in the WWE ring, and now you have him go back to UFC, it just becomes the question of blurred lines. And
I think they're going for that already. They've done it in the past with Ronda Rousey, and now she's back out there trying to rekindle her UFC career.
Well, she's not actually in UFC though.
Yeah, no, I mean just similar.
She's in the kind of the Jake Paul
vein. Legitimately, right now. I believe it's his promotional group.
Promotion that's promoting it. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, that Tyson fight with him obviously was scripted. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, that's you know, the UFC already has so many problems that if you do it, it just probably doesn't do more for them. Okay. Kevin Nash gave his thoughts on TKO messing with WWE creative. Triple H takes over and everybody loves the direction that he's carrying the new WWE program into the Netflix era. Lo and behold, like every other business on earth, the fucking guys above him that don't have a fucking clue besides get paid more decide to start sticking their dicks where they don't need to. We're going to throw this guy in. Let's put this guy in. How about him in the main event? We have a $500 million deal that this guy is locked into. While we're at it, let's make the arena look like NASCAR. It doesn't take anything away from Triple H because Triple H still knows what the fuck he's doing. If anybody out there thinks this might apply to them, how about leaving the fucking company alone? Get your fucking noses out of creative. Go fuck yourselves. Let Paul run the fucking company. If you guys want to cut the talent, don't throw it in Paul's lap and make him be the bad guy. Don't tell him, give me 6 years of creative process to give it to me by Wednesday. If I don't see a certain guy's name on there, I'm going to cut it by 50%. How about just go fuck yourself? How about grow a set of balls? You walk in and you tell them, because UFC is bleeding through every tourniquet that they have, we're going to cut people from WWE to stop the bleeding from the other company. UFC is hemorrhaging money, WWE isn't. How about we tell the truth? If something happens and Triple H is no longer at the helm because there is some type of power play, I hope you follow my lead, because the minute they fuck with him, I have nothing to do with that product the rest of my life. And he said this on, I believe, Stone Cold's podcast.
It's like what I said at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Just a lot less loud.
Exactly.
Well,
on one, bro. I was just going to say you were on one, man. You doing all right?
Just give me the fucking Kabuki Warriors in a panty match and a gravy bowl. All three of them. And then afterwards do a gravure shoot and then have them, doing stuff with chopsticks. I don't know. Get creative.
Hey, there are AI clients out there that can help you do that. Okay.
Yeah. It's called Two Girls, One Belt. Two Girls, One Belt.
Gotta love
them. Kabuki Warriors.
President will have something to say about this.
The one thing that you didn't touch on though, is you were so mad about everything, is you missed the point of this whole thing. And that is Triple H is getting the fucking shit kicked out of him on the internet. Fans just think he doesn't know what he's doing. He's horrible, blah, 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 blah. But again, this is all TKO, and this is how this company is run now. And unfortunately, you know, I know some things, and I know that there is a thin line being walked right now. And the honest answer is, I wouldn't be surprised if Triple H, you know, might not have that particular role in the company at a certain point. And I've said this from day one with AEW. Day one, I said, the problem is, if the network starts fucking with them, that's when you have problems.
Yep.
This is the same thing, except it's not the network. It's the actual company who owns it now. It's
the parent company. Yep.
Parent company. So that's the problem. That is the problem in general. It brought WCW down. It brought ECW down. It damn near killed TNA.
Yeah.
This is the problem when you have these corporations with money behind it, or television networks, wherever the money's coming from, and these people just don't get it. That's it. Very simple. But it is entertainment, and it is a business. And you have to look on the other side and go, if, you know, these guys are grabbing money, grab the money while it's there now, because Lord knows in 5 years, it might not be there. So there you go. Okay. WWE continues to use reaction streamers in their video, despite taking many out with copyright strikes.
If hypocrisy is unbridled, it's insane, because they're copyright striking and taking some people's livelihoods from them by their actions. And what they're doing is they're reacting to the product. And then TKO is turning around and using that streamer's content on their show. What would be hilarious is if these streamers that haven't gotten stricken, if they would copyright strike WWE numerous times. That something along those lines does need to happen, because otherwise this will go unchecked and it'll be terrible for the pro wrestling industry.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, there's no copywriting on this stuff.
Right.
That's the problem.
My attitude with this, though,
you could copyright, depending on the streamer. There are some streamers that do have hundreds of thousands of viewers, hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and they are a legitimate business. They could copyright strike WWE for use of their likeness when it's not authorized. That is a very real thing that could happen.
By the platform financially to do that. Because you could then argue that Twitch or, you know, TikTok or Instagram is being used without the permission.
I think this is where it comes in, Steve. I think that Rob just hit it. Not that you would use the platform to sue them. The fact of the matter is that you're broadcasting out onto these platforms.
Right.
So therefore, it's not our material that is copyrighted. It's, you know, it would have to be Twitch go stop using our content, as opposed to they would not be able. And by the way, there's no way you could fight their lawyers without, you know.
Yeah.
Not on your own. You would need the platform.
You would need.
That's what I'm saying. The platform would have to do it. And
now I know what the counter would be, though. The counter would be going, oh, wait a minute. But while he's putting his content out there, you can hear our program broadcast over his channel. Did he get the permission to even just use our audio?
Oh no, it goes deeper. So we've been hit with it, and it's just over pictures.
Yeah.
Day of pictures. They will hit you with it. We've been hit with it. And, you know, and basically it's not worth doing anything, because they will shut you down. And by the way, it's not them. It's the algorithm set up that company then pays, you know, YouTube and all these companies to touch that shit. And, you know, there's no one sitting down just going, oh, they're using our stuff. So it's actually probably even someone, you know, it's happening in a department that's not even associated with the departments that's putting the shit on TV.
Speaking of other platforms, I have to stop leaning off to the right because on Instagram, you only see half my face.
Still half too much.
Yeah. If we go to Instagram right now, everyone, you'll get half off on Rob. So that's a big sale. That's a big sale right there. All right. Triple A Mega Championship becomes first championship to be defended on both Raw and Dynamite. Probably will be the last time we see a title get defended on both shows like that. Pretty cool thing.
Really cool thing. Didn't even think that you'd see history, but here we are.
Yeah. Speaking of history, looks like
Takahashi.
Hiromu Takahashi.
Oh, there you go. So Hiromishu Takahata is apparently going to the WWE. It was much more easy when Evil came in because
it's Evil.
Evil. Yeah. But it looks like he'll be coming into NXT as well with Evil. Yeah. So
Naraku, though, all I'm thinking of is Inuyasha.
Yeah.
Like he better come out with the fruity makeup and crap if he's going to call himself Naraku.
So the Naraku did debut. He's very, very similar to his New Japan persona of Evil. So, check out that debut. But I just wonder if Hiromu is coming to NXT. What about Daryl, his pet stuffed cat? I don't know. We'll see. If you know, you know. If you don't, look it up. WWE has yet another possibility for a killer moneymaker. They could reproduce those Daryl dolls and make millions off that shit.
Hey, question. Isn't Naraku married to Io Sky?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Yes.
Raw brand, here we come.
There you go.
WWE Hall of Famer Paul Heyman shares his honest thoughts on Danhausen. It doesn't matter if it's for me. It's a reality that he is ridiculously popular, and I understand why. If everybody is just crazy and insane and aggressive and bitch slapping everyone else around them, then there's no let up. There's no break. It becomes monotonous. The old expression, I'm going to hit you with so many rights, you're going to beg for a left to break up the monotony. So there's Danhausen, and Danhausen is different and unique. And look how many people are in love with him because of it. I applaud him. Very simple take. I mean, can't get any more simple than that and what he's been doing. So that's coming from, Paul
Wise Man.
Yeah.
Also, I want to make my way towards Henderson to see if I might catch him running around the streets in the Mrs. Daughter's bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible. Okay.
If you see a dented white Camaro in any future WWE taping, you will know that I was chased by Henderson police. I'm seeking bail, and it was worth it.
There you go. And you'll make an episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Season 7 is confirmed. Looks like it's going to start airing July 7th. TNA and Jeff Jarrett, a three-part special.
That's going to be good.
Paul Orndorff, Big Boss Man, Missy Hyatt, Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe. And then you have the Renegade, Rick Wilson. And, of course, everyone's favorite story that thank God they're doing a show about Zach Gowen.
Wasn't that the one-legged kid?
Yes,
it is.
All right. Yeah, I remember him. And they put him in AEW for one match, if I'm not mistaken. It was either AEW or TNA. Yeah.
So, that's the new Dark Side of the Ring. This man right here, Ted Turner, is dead. Died at 87.
Rest in peace.
I sincerely thought he's been dead for about 3 years now. So yeah,
that's what I thought too. I'm like, right. Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. Whatever.
You immediately do the internet thing where you click on the article and you look at the date to make sure that it's current. So I'm like,
I reposted a few people as dying, and then you find out the article was like 5 years ago.
Right. WCW legends Sting and Tony Giovanni paid tribute to Ten Turner in a nice little opening segment on the show, which was very classy. Of course, WWE as well did do a graphic before the show, as they do with people who have passed, which is great. But of course, of all the things Ted Turner did, who can forget this picture that was obviously taken back when Ted Turner was in control of WCW. And there is nothing here that indicates that it's AI at all. This is real. Swear to God.
Don't look too closely at Sting's face or Flair's face.
I've seen worse.
I thought it was just hysterical.
That's awesome though. That's a dope picture.
And out of all of them, the one guy that you expect would be dead is Flair. I don't understand how three of these five people are gone and Flair is not one of them.
That's insane.
Yeah. That guy is
like, Hogan was drinking too much shitty beer. Scott Hall swallowed on a toothpick and choked to death.
Yeah.
And the other guy was putting out too much liberal news network pieces. Jeez. and died from complications getting the jab from the coronavirus shot that attacked his heart and killed him.
Yeah, or something like that, I believe. All right, and then here, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis disagrees with Sports Illustrated's WWE all-time rankings. Ron said he randomly stumbled into the internet wrestling community for a second to say he thinks Andre the Giant should be ranked higher in the top 20. Andre was ranked number 16. Meltzer also commented that ranking, he thought Bruno Sammartino should be higher. He was ranked number 10. Okay, here's the list, guys. What stands out on this list?
Stone Cold first. Taker's a little high. Randy Savage, Piper, Edge, Orton, Andre the Giant, CM Punk.
CM Punk at 17.
Jericho, Mick Foley, Becky Lynch.
That stands out too.
Yeah. Becky Lynch being the only female. And it's I don't know why she's on this list.
Exactly. She's edged out every other wrestler. Charlotte Flair should be there well before her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that. Shawn Michaels should be higher. Bret should be higher.
Taker should be higher.
I don't know if I buy Roman Reigns at five yet. He obviously had the marathon title run, but by the time that his career is completely over, I think that he will justify that number five. But as of right now, I wouldn't put him that high.
You have Edge over Randy Orton. I don't know about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle is not that you're putting Kurt Angle next to Bruno Sammartino almost.
Now remember too, this specifically said it's a WWE list.
Yeah. So of course,
you know, on that merits too, when you look at it, I mean, Punk, you know, he was literally gone for a decade.
Yeah.
There might be some problems. But, you know, Andre down at 16, that is kind of low. I think, you know, it should be up more. The question is, did they miss anybody on this list? I don't know. Off
the first nine people are all Attitude Era and post Attitude Era. I mean, it's all, it seems like a guy who was just trying to almost like went through AI and said, hey, ChatGPT, you know.
Well, but if you look at those, I mean, those names are all legit. These are the biggest names.
Sure, sure.
In fact, the argument on Austin when the thing was written is that if it wasn't for Steve Austin, that Monday Night Wars, the wrestling, the popularity, everything that went into pop culture, he wouldn't have changed it. And this is the same with Hogan, right? The Rock is high. And The Rock is high because of the fact that he was in a short window for his wrestling career.
Yeah, and he is not number three.
He's like a Don Mattingly character, somebody who was really good. Like if you're a Yankees fan, you can appreciate Don Mattingly in the 80s and early 90s. But he doesn't get into the Cooperstown because he had only about an 8-season career or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, Stone Cold, too. His career was actually only, 6 years in the WWE full-time wrestling?
Which is wild to consider.
Right.
But the impact in the time was gigantic.
Right. And if you want to look at it, too, you know, the reality is Hogan was only a 9-year run. Everything else was WCW, except for that short little stint in 2002, 2003, and then a match or two in 2005. So, you know, it's just
Mick Foley's a journeyman, but Mick Foley should be higher on that list.
Yeah, Mick Foley also, I mean, he WWE is what put him over the top.
But would I have him over Edge? I would swap him with Edge in a heartbeat.
Of course. I wouldn't. Kane is not on that list, by the way. You know, if you're talking Edge, then, you know, you should be talking Kane.
Edge is a 14-time champion or something crazy.
Yeah, but again.
But if you look at the time that he had those championships, it was all during a very, very limited time frame, you know.
Right. And he was also another guy who disappeared because of injuries.
Yes, forever. The injury. Yep.
You don't see Eddie Guerrero on this list.
Mysterio.
Mysterio.
Yeah.
So that's another one. And the other one who can arguably be on there is Batista. There's your 20th spot. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna put women on the list, at least do a little bit more with it or whatever. But I don't know. Give the women their own list. Okay.
I'm also it was one person on there. Where was Ric Flair on that number?
He's not, because Ric Flair.
His WWE career was not on.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had 1 year. And then he had those years with, you know, the Evolution, which he did great, but taking up a spot on this list, probably not really realistic. All right. So here, if you want to feel old, the fact that WWE has been known as WWE since 2002, WWF was 79 to 2002. So it is now officially longer that it has been known as WWE than
still not the World Wildlife Fund. Nobody thinks of WWF as the fucking World Wildlife Fund. They should have known that they gained absolutely nothing. WWE worked, but WWF is the World Wildlife Fund. That's why they got the panda with the chair t-shirt out there. That's such a stupid lawsuit.
Yeah, but they knew what they were doing because they went after the people who had money at the time.
Yeah.
And that again, you know, talk about business, you know, this fucking non-profit decides, oh, hey, we can make some money off of this. And they said, oh, no, we'll just change our name. Fuck you guys. Perfect. good response. All right. Steve, do you want to make a prediction for AEW?
You know, I think that this week there is the announcement of the Owen Hart tournament brackets. So obviously that's going to lead us into
are you saying that the tournament brackets drop this week?
Oh geez. Wow. Yeah, so in any event, I would not be surprised if they brought back some very interesting names. Like this would be a great time to bring back Switchblade Jay White and put him into the Owen Hart tournament. But I think we all know who's winning that Owen Hart tournament this year, and that is William Ospreay. It would be fantastic if he beats John Moxley in the finals, though, because of the story that they have been telling with, you know, Will training with the Death Riders. I think that that would be a fitting cap to that tournament.
F.
All right. So we got an MJF. We got an Ospreay. I personally go with Blue Blazer. We'll see what happens.
Oh, my God.
Fucked up.
Hey, man, you know, sometimes.
Well, my alternate is Marco Stunt.
Jeez.
Hey, he's wrestling again.
He's back. Yeah, he's back in GCW.
Yeah, good
he's
for him.
He's doing his thing.
Good for him. Fucking selling cars. What are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, sometimes in your career, you just fall. Just to see Steve's face.
All right, I got to go to a comedy show in 10 minutes. I'll tell the shitty jokes.
All right, here we go. Let's race through a couple of these things before we go here. Trevor Murdoch has officially announced his retirement after a 25-year-plus career. The best thing about this picture is his former WWE star, Trevor Murdoch. Star? Questionable. Hey, 20 years ago today, Brock Lesnar and Sable got married. Happy anniversary, kids. Speaking of anniversaries, Sabu passed away on the 11th of May, 2025, at age 60. Rest in peace, Sabu.
Rest in peace.
Let's see what else we got here. 2015, Brie and Roxanne met on Total Divas. Look at little Roxanne. That's great. And in 2026, Brie and Roxanne met on Raw, which, you know, 11 years, and that's the difference, man. That's crazy. Nick Namath, the need to get AEW at Casa Bonita.
Wow, that's an old reference to episode some 10 years ago.
Dude, Darby would jump off the fucking top of that dome through the fountain.
Yeah,
right. Speaking of Shooter McGavin, how am I supposed to chip with that going on, Doug?
There's a bunker right after this.
Yeah. The TGL Golf League. That's man, that was great.
They come up with memorable venues. Fucking yep. Renaissance theaters, you know.
Hell yeah, they do.
Here, the gingerbread man coming alive at the funeral, and then the boring people who hate fun watching, like Gunther. That's great. Again, more gingerbread man.
Oh, man.
Good old gingerbread man at the AEW press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of gingerbread man, Sami Zayn. Killing it, man.
That's awesome.
He would do it too he would do the suit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
A little bad, a little Thriller album covers. And of course, gas prices so high, Jacob Fatu thinking about using his brakes.
That's awesome.
That's great.
All right. Time to kind of wrap up here. So
please let him bring in Zilla as his like as his henchman.
It's gonna happen. That's going to happen.
Yeah. We'll
Zilla said that he doesn't want to go to AEW. He wants to go to WWE. So and they've made allusions to it. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Rob, what you got going on?
Tonight is in a comic appreciation show at Ola Abibi going on right now at 1115 South Casino Center Drive on the 22nd, on a Friday, 7 o'clock or so. You want to get to Cork and Thorn off of Main Street. I'm going to be on there with the 6-8 show. Look at Vegas Trump Guy on Instagram, TikTok, for the social medias. If you want me to record something as Donald Trump or Barack Obama or anybody else that you can think of, go to cameo.com/BOCE comedy.
There you go, Steve.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. That's right. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by your side. All right. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys. Tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.